Sorry. Before I forget as well, we have a table in the back, kind of has some information. I always forget to mention it. So in the back, there's a table. You can sign up for our newsletter that comes out whenever we send them out. I don't guarantee or promise timing on those because as a missionary, you find yourself busy with other things. And sometimes and then there's times where you have so much that you don't know how to condense it. But you can sign up for that. We also have prayer cards, and we encourage you to take one and to help you remind yourself to pray for us as we itinerate, as we prepare to go over, and things like that. So Psalms chapter 86, I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. The Bible says, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." And tonight what I want to share with you is that all would worship him. So if we'll pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight, and then we'll get started.
Lord, we ask that you would come by tonight, that you would help us tonight to be able to share with one another, that you would help us to get across the message, get across the burden, God, that you placed upon us. We would be able to share your words among the people, Lord, that they could feel a burden and catch a burden. Missions, we ask that you would help us tonight, God, that you would move in a special way in these altars. In your name, Lord.
Amen. You can be seated. David was saying in this passage of Scripture that there is no God like unto our God. There's no God that can be compared to our God. There's no God that has the power that our God does. And we see that David, he recognized how great our God was, how great and what marvelous and wonderful he really was. And he was saying there is no God like unto our God. There is no God that this world has ever made. There is no God that can be made into a statue that's like unto our God. There's no God that can compare to who God is. David could look back at the miracles that God had already done for himself as well as the people of Israel. Look back at how God moved in a mighty way to bring Abraham out of the land of his fathers to a land that he didn't know where he was going. And out of that, God created the children of Israel. Out of that, he created a nation, a people that he was going to call his own. And not only that, but he could see the creation before that. How God was able to create the world in just 6 days. All the grandeur and the things that you can see that are around us that God created. And David could see these things and could say there was no God like unto our God. Not only that, but when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. It wasn't just a battle against Pharaoh, but it was God's way of showing that he had more power than the gods of Egypt. He had more power than any of the gods that the Egyptians served. For every plague that there was against a different god that Egypt had. It wasn't just to try and punish Pharaoh, but it was to show his power over each one of those gods. The god of the Nile and the god of life and all the different gods that the Egyptians had. God showed that he was more powerful. He showed that the Egyptian gods had nothing on him. And David could look back and remember this. Not only that, but the conquering of the promised land. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they it looked like they had no chance of conquering this the promised land. It looked like they had no chance to take over all these different people, all these different nations. It didn't look like it was going to happen. But God was able to deliver every one of them into their hand. And not only that, but you look back at the judges and things where God delivered the children of Israel out of the hands of the enemy. And David could look back at all these different instances and say, there is no God like unto our God. There is no God that can compare. There is no God that's able to do the works that our God does. And David was no stranger to God. And God was no stranger to David. And so David knew who God was. He knew God's attributes. He knew, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. He knew how God was. He knew the way that God acted. He knew the things that God would do. And so he understood God. He understood what God was. And because of that, he could say that there was no God like unto his God. Because David had that personal relationship. David had that personal communion with God. And so he knew. A lot of times there's people that say, oh, you know, my God's like this or my God's like that. But they don't really know who God is. And when you really understand who God is, when you really dig into His Word and really understand God, the more you understand about Him, the more you realize that there's so much more to understand. But when you begin to understand more about God, you realize there's no other God that can compare. There's no other God that's equal to our God. Brother Dement mentioned John 3:16 that God gave His Son to a world that hated Him. There's been no other God, and there will be no other God that's ever given their Son for a world that hated Him to be able to save Him and bring Him back to Him. But God didn't stop being God when David died. He didn't stop being God after this psalm was written. But He continued to be God. Even after David, He continued to be God in the lives of His people and the children of Israel. He continued to do miracles and wonders. And you can look through the Bible and see all the different things that God continued to do. Because God didn't stop with David. And we serve a God like no other God. We serve a God, we look back at our lives, just in our personal lives. How God's provided, how God's directed, how God's protected us in a way that we've never thought possible. The way the provision has come in a time where we didn't know how we were going to pay the bills or we didn't know how things were going to go. But God always came through and provided. God came through and He's always come through to keep us safe while we've been traveling, to keep us safe when we've been in other countries. And Guatemala is not always the safest country in the world, but God's kept us safe. We've never had problems. We've never had any instances of being robbed or anything like that. And God's kept His hand upon us. And so we serve a God that's unlike any other God in this world. We serve a God that's kind. A God many times He's long-suffering with us. When we fail and things like that, He could just do instant judgment on us. And like He did in the Old Testament, He'd just open up the ground and swallow people. Or He'd send serpents. Or He'd do all kinds of different things to judge people. But we serve a God that's long-suffering with us. We serve a God that has patience with us. He's loving. And because of that, He doesn't judge us when we do wrong right away. There's going to stand a day where we all have to be judged. But God doesn't judge us as soon as we make a mistake. He doesn't send down fire from heaven and just consume us. But we serve a God that's loving. We serve a God that's patient. We serve a God that's omnipotent. A God that has all power. A God that's not limited by our understanding. Is not limited by what we understand about physics or nature or science or anything like that. We don't serve a God that's limited by our understanding, by our capacity. But He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's able to do all things. He can keep you safe. Brother Kincaid was telling us a story about a missionary in Africa today. He was telling us today about the story. A black mamba came in. And if you don't know about a black mamba, it's one of the most deadly snakes in the world. And we're lucky to have those in South Sudan with us. So anyway, one of the most deadly snakes came in and into the guy's hut, and they're also a very aggressive snake. They're very protective of themselves and things like that. And so he just began to pray and say, Lord, You've got to do something about this because, I mean, there's nothing He could do about it. And he closed his eyes and prayed, and when he opened his eyes, he was outside the hut. It wasn't the snake that left and went about its way, but it was himself had been placed outside the hut while he was praying because God moved him and kept him safe. And I've read other stories about a man had to cross a river to get to someone else. I can't remember if it was a sister or another missionary or something, and the river was flooded and he didn't have a way to get across. So he began to pray. And when he opened his eyes, he was on the other side of the river. And don't know how he got to the other side, but all he knows is that God put him on the other side. And so, I mean, in our limited understanding, we don't have a teleportation device where we can just get in and say, hey, I want to go over to the other side. We don't have that kind of knowledge or that kind of science, but God's still able to do it. God's still able to move in a mighty way and because He's omnipotent. He's also all-knowing. He's able to He knows everything that's going on in our lives. He's able to begin to send an answer to a request before we even pray about it. He's able to send the money in the mail before we ever have a need. Because He's omniscient. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going on in our lives. We don't have to wait till a tragedy happens before God begins to move in that situation. And so many times in our lives, just in our own life, we didn't know where the money was going to come from or anything like that, but God was already working behind the scenes to bring about an answer. And when it got in His timing, He provided. He was able to send an answer. And God's omnipresent. And these are some things Brother Kincaid's talked about many times. And so it doesn't matter where we are, God's able to help us. And while we're in Africa, God's able to be with us and keep us safe. And at the same time, He can keep you safe here. We don't have to wait until God's done working here or keeping you safe from all the snow and things that you're suffering through here to be able to go and help us in Africa. We don't have to wait on that. But at the same time, we can trust God that He's not too busy to help us in our time of need, that He's not too busy to move in our lives. Because He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And because of that, it's the God that we serve that's unlike any other God. It's a God that we serve that's not limited by our knowledge or our understanding. But He's a God that we serve that says that He's God alone. And over in South Sudan, they still do a lot of the nature worship and things like that. And they worship, they believe that there's souls and everything. And so they try and say that everything's a God to try and explain things. But our God's not like that. Our God's different. And I'm sure we're going to face times where there's going to be a showdown between their God and our God. And I believe and I trust that God's going to prove Himself faithful and prove Himself that He's greater than any God that they've ever imagined, any God that they've ever dreamed of. And that David said all these things about God, how great God is and everything like that. And then David was saying that all the nations that he created, all the nations that he had made shall one day stand before Him and worship Him. One day they're all going to stand there and worship Him because He's the only God that's able to do that. And David didn't see this happen during his lifetime. He didn't see all the nations come to Israel and say, "Hey, I'm going to make your God our God, so we're all going to worship your God together." He didn't see it happen. You can read, and Jesus didn't even see it happen in His day. He saw people kill Him because of who He was. And we see Paul, even after that, he saw that all of Asia heard the word of God, but there were still many more that didn't come to the Lord yet. And so it didn't happen in their day, but David was saying that all the nations would come and worship Him. And so because it didn't happen in his day, we still have that need in our day. We still have the need to see that all nations would come and worship Him. And there's over 7 billion people in this world. I've never been able to fathom that kind of money, or that kind of people, that kind of money either. But that number is just so big that you couldn't even imagine 7 billion people. Here we may have 150, 200 people, whatever. And this is just a drop in the bucket compared to what's out there. And out of that 7 billion people, almost 50% is considered unreached. That means that 50% have never even heard the gospel. 50%, 3.5 billion people have never even heard about Jesus Christ. And so there, 3.5 billion, I'm sure there's even more than that. This is just a stat that somebody's came up with that kind of surveyed and things like that. And so I'm sure it's even greater than that. 50% that have never even heard the gospel. And there are many others that have been reached by the gospel that maybe heard about the gospel, but have never understood the gospel. It's just another thing to them. It's just another story. They've never understood what it meant to them. And then there's been countless others that have been reached, but never accepted. They understand it. They realize what it means to them, but they never accept the gospel for their own lives. And so we're probably, I'd say 80%, 90, probably higher than that, billion of the 7 billion people, 80-90% probably aren't even saved. And in South Sudan, over 70% of the people in South Sudan are unreached. 70% of, they have between 8 and 9 million people. Nobody's real sure about how many, but between 8 and 9 million people, and 70% of that's never heard the gospel. 70% of almost 6 million people have never even heard the gospel. And so even the people in South Sudan that have heard the gospel, 30% of that are Catholics. And so out of all the people that have been reached with the gospel, it's by the Catholics. And so we face an astronomical task for us to try and go and reach the people of South Sudan. It's not something that we can do in and of ourselves. It's not something that we can do just, even if we traveled and talked to every single person, or tried to talk to every single person, we'd never get to everyone before they died. And so we take for granted the blessings that we have here. I mean, we see the need around the world. It's huge. The need is just so great. But the laborers are so few. There's so many people that don't want to go and do a work for the Lord. And even if all the people went and did a work for the Lord, there'd still be so many. There'd be so few people to do the work. But in our own lives, we've got the blessing of being growing up in Sunday school, growing up and knowing about the Lord, knowing about what's in the Bible, the stories in the Bible, where just basic stories of David and Goliath are unknown to a majority of the world. Basic stories about how Jesus came and died on the cross are unknown to countless numbers of people. Even in South Sudan, where people don't know about the Lord. They've never heard the stories that we grow up knowing about how Jesus died on the cross to save us of our sins. If we just admit that we're sinners and believe and confess with our mouth. And all the simple things that we take for granted that other countries have never even heard of. They've never even got a glimpse of what salvation really is. We have the truth. In this church, we have the truth preached to us every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. The truth. We don't have to worry about Brother Kincaid coming in and start preaching on false doctrines, or start preaching on how if you give him all the money you got, he'll guarantee that you'll have a good parking spot at Walmart. I mean, that'd be great right now during the shopping season where there's people everywhere. But he's not going to preach things like that because he preaches the truth. We don't have to worry about people coming in and trying to lead people astray by preaching behind this pulpit false doctrine. But in South Sudan, there's Catholics in there that are trying to take over. There's people that come in and just whatever they hear, they preach because they don't have an understanding. They don't have a Bible to search through the Scripture to see what's really true, what's really right. And so people that things we take for granted, that it's just difficult over there. And so the need around the world is so great. The need around the world, I mean, we could try and explain it, try and get you to understand it. And even then, I don't fully comprehend the need because it's so great. There's so many souls that are dying and going to hell because they've never been reached with the gospel. But we've got to do our part. If it's to ever come true, we've got to do our part. As David said, that all the nations are coming, going to come and worship the Lord. And the Bible says, how can they be saved if they've never heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And so God's designed it where He's designed it to use men to go and share the gospel. It's not something that He's going to send angels to announce the gospel. He's not going to send just signs and wonders to just say, hey, here's the gospel. But He's decided to use men to preach the gospel. He's decided to use men to reach out to save the humankind. But we've got to do our part. It's not something that we can just say, well, I'll let so-and-so go and do a work. I'll let so-and-so go and witness to a lost person. I'll let so-and-so go and be used of God. But we've all got a part to do. We've all got a place to work in the field because the field is so great. But God's decided to use you and I to share the gospel. He's decided to use you and I, the humankind, to share His gospel. He knew that people would corrupt it. He knew that there would be those that would come and twist the doctrine to make it fit their beliefs. He knew that people would refuse to go. But yet through all of this, He decided to use mankind. He decided to use you and me to share the gospel. I mean, angels could share the gospel so much greater than we could. They could go and we'd never have to worry about it. But God wants to use you and me to share the gospel. And out of all these 5-6 billion people that are lost and unreached, God's called us to go to South Sudan to reach people. He may call you to go somewhere else. He may call you to Brother Matt working in the jails, doing a work in the jails. He may call you to work in the nursing home like Brother Jared Keplinger and so many others that are doing a work in different places, because the field's so great. We don't have to all just say, you know, I'm just going to come to church and sit in the pew and let everybody. But God's got a work for us. It may not be to be the pastor of this church. It may not be to be a leader of Sunday school. But God's got a work that we can all do. If you look out at Goshen, you can't go a day if you just look out and go to Walmart or sit at McDonald's and just watch people. You can see there's so many people that are lost and dying. Here in Goshen, and if everybody did their best to reach out to somebody, how great of a harvest would we get? How great of a harvest would we be able to see if everybody would reach out and try and do a work for the Lord? Too many times we get lackadaisical, we get lazy, and we've all been there, where we don't witness, we don't work for the Lord like we should. And how many souls have went on to eternity without ever hearing the gospel because we didn't do our part? I mean, we'll never know until we make it to heaven and see how many people didn't make it because we never told them about the Lord. And, I mean, it's something to think about. How many people are going to die and go to eternity lost and never have a chance to make it right because we never did our part? I had a friend in school at 16 years old, died in a car accident. I never told him about the Lord. I never said anything to him about the Lord. He went and went on to eternity. Never has a chance to make things right. Because I never, maybe he would have got saved, maybe he wouldn't have. I don't know, but I never did my part to try and get him to go to see meet the Lord and accept the Lord as a Savior. How many others are going to die and go to hell because we haven't done our part? And if you think about it, it's a sobering thought. It'll get to you. But I want to do my best to win as many people to the Lord as I can. Not for my own glory, not because to say, hey, I want 100,000 people to the Lord. No, it's not because of that. It's because I want to do my best to save as many, get as many people to heaven as I can, so that they don't have to go into eternity lost and to a devil's hell. I want to do my best that they can meet the Savior one day and see what it's all about, see what salvation is all about, and that they don't have to go to hell because I didn't do my part. There's been, someone once said, why should we get to hear the gospel twice when there are so many other people that have never even heard it once? I mean, all of us have heard the gospel more than once. I'm sure all of us have had more than one opportunity to come to the Lord. We've all had more than one opportunity to make things right with God. But how many people have never even had one chance? Never even heard the gospel to be able to say, hey, I want to accept the Lord as my Savior. And yet we hear it all the time. And we've had so many opportunities. But there are so many people that have never even heard, never even had a chance to be saved. We go through services, we go through revivals, not paying attention to what's going on, just kind of going through the motions. And we just take it for granted. When people in other countries that have never even heard the gospel, they sit there and they try and soak in everything that's being said. They try and listen to everything that's being told because they want to know, they want to understand. But yet we sit here and we just go through the motions, we go through and not really think about what's going on. But God's prepared people for the gospel. He's prepared people to accept the gospel if we would do our part. And He's made the gospel available to all men. He didn't make it limited to just the people in the USA or the people in North America or in Europe. He didn't make it just regional, or He didn't make it just for the rich or the poor. But He made it for all people. That's why David could say that all the nations, all the people that God created would one day worship Him. And we can read in Revelation 7, Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10 says, "After this I beheld," John writing this here, he says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." It says that all nations, all people, all tribes, all languages are going to be there worshiping the Lord. And John wasn't writing about a present tense. He was writing about a future tense. Something that's going to happen. Something that's inevitable. It's something that it's going to happen. We don't have to wonder if it... But God's calling us to do a work to bring all those to the Lord. And if you think about, you know, we don't have any more... It wouldn't be any more confusion through language. We don't have to worry about being... like sitting there and you have the Russians over here. You have Germans and you have Spanish and you have... all these different languages trying to worship the Lord, and everybody wondering what's going on. But everybody's going to worship the Lord in one language, in one tongue. And everybody's going to understand what everybody's saying and worshiping our Lord. All the nations, all the tribes, all the people are going to be there to worship the Lord. And a lot of times people read that and say, well, you know what? God's already got it planned out. I don't have to do anything. He's already going to bring everybody there. But He wants you to do your part to get Him there. He's called you to reach out to everybody that we can to reach the lost. And our job's to get them to heaven. Our job's to get them there. Our job's to let them understand what the gospel's all about. And some people say, well, what if I don't go? I mean, God's still going to reach out to them. But God's got a plan for your life, and He's got a plan that He wants you to fulfill. He doesn't want somebody else to have to do it for you, because He's got a plan for them as well. God has a plan for every one of us to reach out to the lost. And if someone could come to the music. I want to do my part to try and win people to the Lord. I want to do my part to try and get as many people out of those tribes and nations and tongues, and do my part to try and get them to heaven. I may not be able to speak their language. I may not be able to fully explain what it is, but I want to do the best that I can. I want to do the best that I can for people to be able to understand what God's done for them. And I know that many here will probably never go on a mission field. We'll probably never go into a foreign field and do a work for the Lord in another country. But there's so much work just to do here in Goshen. And I'm sure you could come up to Brother Kincaid and say, hey, what do you want me to do? I'm available. I'll do whatever you ask. And I'm sure you'd have plenty of work for everybody to do. I'm sure he's got plenty of ideas for people to do here in Goshen. But he doesn't have people to do it with. He doesn't have and he didn't tell me anything about this, but I'm sure that he's got a desire for people to work. He's got desires to see things happen, but he needs people to step up and say, hey, I'll do my part. I'll do my best to reach out wherever you want to send me. That's where I'll go. If we could all stand tonight. My aim wasn't to get everybody to sign up for foreign missions and everybody go overseas and go live in Africa with us or anything like that. But my aim was to get us to see the need, the desire that God has for this world. A need, a desire that He has just for Goshen, Indiana. There's such a great need. There's such a great harvest field out there that the Lord's looking for people to do a work. He's looking for people to go out and help them in the harvest field. And so many times we just get comfortable where we're at. We get comfortable in our daily routine, going to work, coming home, relaxing, spending time with family, going to bed, doing everything, doing it all again the next day. And we never do anything to reach out to the lost. We never do anything to reach out to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our friends and family that are lost. But I want to do my best. And I pray that you want to do your best to reach out to the lost. That you want to do your best to reach out to those that have never accepted the Lord as their Savior. And I'm sure we've all got lost loved ones. We've all got family members that don't know the Lord. We've got friends. We've got co-workers. We've got neighbors. All kinds of people in our life that need to hear about the Lord. And there's people that you'll meet that I'll never meet. People that I'll never be able to witness to. And there's people in my life that you'll never meet, that you'll never be able to witness to. And because of that, we've all got to do our part. We've all got to be ready to share the gospel. And that way when the Lord comes back, there's people ready to go with Him. Will you do the best that you can? Will you do the best and promise the Lord that you'll give 100%, that you'll give everything that you got to do a work for the Lord, that you'll give everything you've got to share the gospel with those that need it? Or will you continue to let people die and go to hell because you couldn't care less? I believe it was Charles Spurgeon once said that if someone's going to go to hell, let it be over my pleading, begging, crying body, that they don't just go to hell because I didn't do my part, but I'm doing my best. I'm crying, I'm pleading, I'm begging for them to go to heaven. William Carey said, call him the father of modern missions. He said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Because we talked about how God is omnipotent. He has all power. So why not go ahead and try the great things for Him? Why not try and go ahead and try and do great things to reach the lost and do great works for God? Because we serve a God that has the power to help us. So I want to do my best. I want to attempt my best to do a work for the Lord. So tonight, you got to make the decision if you're going to do your part. If you're going to do your best and refuse to get comfortable. Refuse to be comfortable where you're at. You got to make that decision. So nobody can make it for you. Nobody can say, hey, you're going to do your best. They can't do it. You've got to make it on your own. Tonight's a great night to decide what you're going to do with it. Tonight's a great night to decide what you're going to do with the rest of your life. You can't change what you've done, but you can change what you're going to do. So tonight, I just want to invite you to come to these altars and let God help you to make that decision to do the best that you can, to reach out to those that are lost. So if we could all just come and ask the Lord to help us.